95.1 Shine FM. It's Jack and Aaron. Proud to have Ravens tight end Ben Watson on the show with us.
How you doing?
Well, we're doing just fine, but the question is, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Just, healing and resting, recovering.
Now, we were extraordinarily bummed, I got to tell you. I mean, because we're devout Ravens fans, and when you tore your Achilles, it was devastating. I know it was really hard for you, but is there any way you can come back for the Pittsburgh game? Because we need to get the offense, like, really clicking. So can you, expedite things a little bit?
Believe you me, if I had some sort of magic potion, I'll be back as soon as possible. Every night I go to sleep, I'm like, Lord, it's okay for me to wake up and be healed tomorrow. It's
right.
All good.
Yeah.
Do it.
Wow. What were your prayers like? Because you guys picked up and you moved from New Orleans to Baltimore, and then this happens. I mean, how were you talking to God then?
Well, anytime you move across the country, anytime you go to a different team, it's always tough. And moving across the country with five kids, finding a new homeschool co-ops and new grocery stores and finding a house to rent and all those types of things is tough. And then you have this happen. This is obviously not how you draw it up. And so I think there is, there's a period of lament. I got a friend that's writing a book about lament and how in scripture, we see where, we don't have to fake like everything is okay. It's okay to say, Lord, I'm upset. I'm sad. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed. I worked all this time for this season, made new friends, learned a whole new offense, coming to a new city, want to put my best foot forward and help the team win, and this happens. It's okay to be totally disappointed. You're not totally devastated because you understand that while that is true, God is still in control. And that's kind of what I've been resting in, is that he's in control, and Sundays are terrible. I hate it. I hate watching and not being able to play, and it's really tough. But my family's been so supportive. People in the community online have been supportive of me. But it's a constant conversation with God, because some days are tougher than other days.
I would imagine, like, maybe your prayers were a lot like Breshad Perryman's, because he a lot of expectations for him, and he was out the whole year.
Well, with Breshad, I actually spoke with him last year. Back in 2004, I tore my ACL, and when Breshad was drafted last year, I didn't know him. We had the same agent, but I didn't know him. I knew of him, that he was a good receiver and everything, and I saw him tear the ACL, and so I got his number, and not knowing that I was going to be on team with him a year later, I just shot him a text and told him that the year will go by, and he's still a great player, and he'll be fine coming off the ACL, because I know exactly how he was feeling, because I came into New England and tore mine my rookie year. And now he gets an opportunity to tell me, hey, man, it's going to be okay. So that's the great thing about football. If it hasn't happened to you, it will. And if it has, you get an opportunity to encourage somebody else.
Is your wife sick of you yet? I mean, she...
I can't believe you just asked that.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of laying around, I would imagine, right now.
Really, yeah. I think what Jack is thinking is that his wife would definitely be sick of him by now.
That's right.
Yeah. My wife, I think the hardest thing for her is not quite knowing exactly how I need her at every moment, and not quite knowing how to comfort me unless I tell her explicitly. Yeah. She has been phenomenal. She's been by my side the whole way. Went down with me to get surgery. Came back. I mean, we have five children, seven and under, and now we have six kids if you count me, because I'm like a kid too. I can't really do much. And she's just been awesome. And the biggest thing, she just says, especially on Sunday, she looks at me. So I have this look on my face on Sunday, I really want to be out there. And the most frustrating thing for her is just knowing that, she would give me her Achilles if she could. That's how she is. Aww. So she's been awesome. And I think our relationship has grown through this period. I mean, that's usually what happens during tough times. You either end up fighting more, or you end up growing. And I think that we've grown closer together, at least come to understand each other a little bit more.
So I was homeschooled growing up, and Jack is actually homeschooling his kids.
My wife is homeschooling.
Well, I should say, yeah.
I am a motivational speaker, Ben. I just want to put that out there.
I was going to say, what is your role in homeschooling? Are you motivational speaker, principal, all of the above? Do you get to handle, like my dad did our Bible lessons. That was his road.
Yeah, I've gone from motivational speaker, funder, you know, I fund it, and to actual substitute teacher now. I'm actually doing a little bit more since I'm home. I've kind of taken over the reading. I've been charged with that, and so the older two, the girls are homeschooled. The boys are only 4 and 3, and they actually go to a preschool 3 days a week. But the girls are all homeschooled right now, and so I do the reading for them, and I tell you what, I have a greater appreciation of my wife having to actually be with them, you know, every day and
tell it, man.
Part in it.
Tell it. I know.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Hey, I'm like, good grief. She deserves like 2 gold stars.
So boys and girls, are you wanting them, or you know, ready for the day one day when they might do sports? Are you going to encourage that? I mean, how you feel about that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, my oldest loves ballet, my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She loves ballet. She loves dance. She's involved in that. My other daughter is involved with soccer. All she talks about is wanting to play soccer, so she's involved in that right now. My one son, that's 4, both of them like football, obviously. They tackle each other and everything. He has this affection for NASCAR. Oddly enough, my brother spent a year being a jackman for Roush Family Racing in NASCAR, and
oh,
so
wow.
Now my son, like all he talks about is race cars, and so I'm great. I'm going to be a racer. You want to drive race cars? It's fine with me. So I don't feel like I need to force them to do it. You know, I want them to understand that, you know, whether they're an athlete or not, I'm proud of them, and you know, they don't have to do that to earn my approval. That's the biggest thing. And even especially when it comes to football. I mean, you know, a lot of times, you know, the dad plays the NFL, so you think, I want my sons to play football. And I'd be fine with them playing football, but I want them to know that, you know, if they don't want to play football, that's fine. Don't play football because you think I'm going to love you any more or any less, because it's not going to change.
Right. What about you? If you had the opportunity, I saw where Tim Tebow just hit a home run in the instructional league. Would you want to dip into another sport if you had the opportunity?
I'm not good enough to dip into another one.
There's something so wrong in my head just hearing Benjamin Watson say, I'm not good enough to do another sport.
I'm being honest. You know, basketball, you know, every football player thinks they can play basketball, but if that was the case, they play basketball. Who would play football in their right mind? Let's be real. So, you know, I wasn't that great in basketball. I was a good athlete. If I could do any sport, I would love to do track. But I was fast in high school and college, but, you know, I'm not doing track. That's definitely a young man's game.
Right.
So there's really – and in baseball, I wish I would have played baseball, but I was always scared of the ball. So, you know, at this point, I don't think there's another sport for me. Maybe, I don't know, something a little more low-key, badminton or something like that I might try.
Okay.
Hey, look, bowling's real big in Baltimore, Heinz. So you could go carve a hole out bowling.
You can do a little bowling. That'd be nice. I can get me a nice, you know, nice outfit for that.
There you go.
I was sitting in church a few weeks ago, and I saw that you did an interview with my pastor, Ben Kacharis. I didn't even realize that you wrote a book. It's called Under Our Skin. And so it was enlightening to me. Now, full disclosure, I haven't read the book. They're on the way. You see stuff like Charlotte. You've seen the problems that we had in Baltimore. And, like, where are we with race in 2016?
Well, I think we're exactly where we were when God created Adam and Eve, and they were removed from the garden. And ever since then, we've had a problem with pride and selfishness, and we have a problem getting along with each other. We don't love each other very well. And I think that, you know, race in America, when you talk about black and white, it's just our form of what's been going on for a very, very long time. You know, I think that obviously when it comes to legislation, when it comes to rights, that we have come a long way from being property to being on equal footing when it comes to being able to sit together at a restaurant and to vote and all those sorts of things. But I also think that the heart of man is full of depravity and is wicked, and we have bias and we have assumptions and we have prejudice and we have racism that all needs to be dealt with. I think that the good thing, though, if there is a good thing, is that all that stuff is coming back into the forefront. We're seeing these events that are happening on television, and we have to be able to deal with them correctly. We have to be honest with what's going on. We have to admit that we still have problems. We have to look internally, introspectively, in each of our own hearts as to how we really feel about the other side. We have to be willing to listen to the other side and put ourselves in their shoes, whichever side you're on. Even if we don't agree, there needs to be a lot more respect. And then on top of that, we need to look at some things that, I guess, negatively affect minority communities. And a lot of times there are certain laws that aren't administered fairly. And then there's some things that, you know what, honestly, there needs to be some responsibility on however you react whenever you're upset about something. There's certain things that you don't do, even if you feel like you've been wrong. And so, in the big picture where we are in our race is we still have problems. But the bigger picture is, as especially as believers, we know who has the power to change our hearts. And we know who can forgive. And we understand that it's important to have repentance and that you know, we need to see each other the way God sees us.
I had an opportunity to go with one of my friends. He's a police officer, so I did a ride along, and we're riding down the street, Baltimore City, and so I have this big vest on. It says Baltimore City Police, and we're in the inner city, so there's a crowd. I would say probably 50-100 people, all African American, and I just noticed like they're yelling at me, they're looking at me. And they're hating me, and you don't even know me. You've already made this assumption. It's like that showed me that there are no easy solutions here. We are like beyond politicians and policy. Something bigger needs to happen for this to get fixed.
And when your trust has been broken for so long, it's easy to see someone through the lens of broken trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I think trust is, I think you nailed on that when you said trust. And nobody knew you, but they saw what it said on your chest.
Mm-hmm.
And so by reading what it said about Baltimore police, whatever reaction that brought up in them because of their experience with the police or what their idea of what the police are about and what they aren't about, that was projected upon you. You know, that's why I think it's important. And it's important for us to have individual conversations, to talk about these things as individuals, to realize that our dining room tables are as important as the courtroom when it comes to racism and change, because what are we showing our kids? What are we teaching them about race? They're watching every single reaction that we have to every racially charged event that happens, and they're forming their opinions a lot of times from what they see from us. So what are we showing them? But you're right. You know, this issue is huge. It's systemic. It's ingrained in us. And my prayer is that those who know the Lord are able to lead and are in the forefront. I mean, you mentioned, you know, your church and your pastor. I think that the body of Christ needs to be the example when it comes to race relations. And sadly, we aren't. Mm-hmm. We're affected by the same biases that affect the world, where we have power that is bigger than that. And we're allowing ourselves to succumb to that, and that's sad. It shouldn't be. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians, you know, there's neither Jew or Greek, a slave or free, and we have a hard time. A lot of times we cling more to our cultural groups than we do to our spiritual family when the spiritual family should trump the culture.
Yeah, sometimes I think we make this so complicated, too, when Jesus boiled it down in, like, two verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, one, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And it's like, there's our answer right there, because if we spend our time loving God, seeking his direction on it, he provides the answer so that we can go love our neighbors.
Yeah. And then once you're doing that, you know, your eyes will be open to a lot of, you know, what we talked about before, a lot of the inequality that still exists that may not be glaring, but is definitely still there when we talk about criminal justice system, we talk about a lot of other issues that are still there, and your eyes get open to it, and you're not as defensive when somebody brings it up.
Ben, how can we be praying for you? Because you are someone within our community who's leading these discussions. How can we pray for you as you lead and dip into the foray of that?
Well, you know, honestly, my wife always says it's not about me. Because Benjamin, it's not about you. And that's hard for me being a football player because I want it to be about me. I want to go out there and catch all the touchdowns. I want to win the Super Bowls. I want it, you know, to be about me as an athlete. And so pray for my pride, for my selfishness. Pray for my that I'm faithful with opportunities that he gives me to speak truth about this topic, but about any topic, and that I really make it not about me, because that's when he uses us, when it's not about us. Mm-hmm. And I'm subject to want to make it about me all the time. Pray for my marriage. We're at 11 years now, and, you know, things can always be better. Obviously, things can always get worse. But we truly want our marriage to be our ministry, but that can only happen if we are loving each other and respecting each other the way that we're being taught in Scripture. And so I just ask for prayer for protection for that, and also pray for the football team. Pray for the Ravens. This community loves this team. I've seen that when I played here, when I was on other teams and I came here to play, and now that I'm on this team, the community loves this team. There are some guys on the team who love the Lord. There are some guys that don't know the Lord and you know, have no inclination about it. But pray for them that they will come to know him like anybody else, and obviously for their families and their safety on the field as well.
Yes, that too. I was hoping for 12 wins. That's kind of where my prayer was going, you know.
Unbelievable.
I want to be 4-0 at the end of this week.
Why are you limiting God to 12 wins?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yes.
I ye of little faith.
Yes. Yes.
God, forgive me. Please.
I mean, golly, I'm not saying nothing, but you know, in New England, when we went undefeated, you know, we prayed to be undefeated. We just forgot to ask the Lord to win the Super Bowl, so we lost in the last game.
There's that. There's that.
You know what? I'm just playing about that. But,
we're glad you're a Raven, and we want to see you back out there. So we're going to be praying for you hard. And Ben, come back and be on with us anytime. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.